I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Very excited to welcome our guest today. We've got Ben Weiss. He's the CEO of CoinFlip. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me on. Super pumped to be here right now.
Yeah, I'm pumped to have you on, Ben. And, you know, we're doing a ton of really exciting stuff in the crypto space, so I'm really pumped to have you on the show because we've been very focused for the last few years with Alchemy on the cannabis space. And as we've expanded into other highly regulated industries, we had to change our jingle and change our guests. And so I'm excited to usher in this whole new era of digital with crypto and guests. And so definitely very excited to have you on. And you know, for everybody who's tuning in, as I said, Ben is the CEO of CoinFlip. They're based in Chicago. If you haven't heard about them, you know, they're really a leading financial services platform that is very focused, right, on the digital economy, on crypto. They operate one of the largest networks of crypto ATMs by volume and over-the-counter trading desks, giving the world a ton of very secure access to the benefits of crypto. So, Ben, welcome to the show. You've had quite a year already. I think you were recently named the Midwest Entrepreneur of the Year by Ernst & Young. And you're also a trustee for the New Jersey Blockchain Coalition. And of course, you're running CoinFlip. So, you know, talk to us a little bit about CoinFlip. I know you've been doing that for quite a while, and you started as the, you know, Chief Operating Officer. And now the last year or so, last 2 years, you've been the CEO. You guys are crushing it, at least on the transaction side. So talk to us a little bit about the journey, one for you and also, you know, where you guys have started and where you are today.
Yeah, so I've been at CoinFlip for 7 years now, which in crypto years is like 7,000 years.
Yes, that's a long time.
So, and I started CoinFlip with my co-founders. I want to give a shout out to Daniel Polotsky. He was the one who had the idea for the crypto ATMs. And we started the business in December of 2015 because we saw how hard it would be for the average person to participate in cryptocurrency and participate in the digital economy. I mean, we're tech people and we were having issues figuring out how to buy crypto. So what we wanted to do is make it as easy and as accessible for anyone to buy crypto, whether it was $10 or $1,000. And that's where we came in with the kiosk. And we've continued to launch other products that on the digital side as well. And we've expanded the kiosk to 49 states and Canada, over 4,000 locations. And we have our global headquarters right here in Chicago. So it's been quite the journey. It's really been an amazing experience. And, you know, I've seen, you know, we're in crypto winter now, but I've seen this 3 or 4 times. So I'm not fazed.
Yes. I mean, I think a lot of people are, you know, eyeing it like, do I invest now? Do I hold off? Do I sell? I mean, everyone has their own, you know, speculation on what's going to happen. I've obviously been around for a long time myself in the crypto space and, you know, bought Bitcoin when it was literally just a few dollars. So I've seen that up and down quite a bit. And so we do know that it will come back.
Yeah, I hope you still have that Bitcoin, man.
Yeah, right. Are you kidding me? I wish to. I mean, listen, I mean, if you remember back in the day with Bitcoin, like once it got to a few hundred dollars, it's like, holy crap, this is amazing. Who knew that it was going to go up to like $60,000 a coin, you know? But, you know, same with Ethereum. I mean, all of these are, you know, it's all risk. But at the end of the day, it is kind of fun to watch this. Question for you and your co-founders, like, why did you guys, like, what was it about the crypto space, you know, that you guys wanted to, you know, kind of come in and do something? Because 7 years ago, things were still very, very much, I would not just say risk averse, but also like, we just don't know where crypto is going to go. So like, what was it in your heads that you were like, yeah, this is, we're going to put a stake in the ground and this is what we're going to do?
Yeah. So we all loved crypto, but I'll give you my personal perspective on why this was something I wanted to do. When I was in school, I sort of made up my mind that I didn't want to have a real job and I wanted to try something cool. And at that time, I saw Bitcoin and I saw crypto. And in the back of my head, I was like, this is pretty genius. What it basically solves for is it You know, if I have a Bitcoin, if I have one Bitcoin, it is physically impossible for you to have the same type of Bitcoin or to have the same exact Bitcoin. So what it does is it creates all these things that are fundamental to the economy and the physical space, like private property, markets, things like that. And it brings it into the digital space. So this was the first time that you could really capture value sort of in the digital space. So that was the thing that was so brilliant about it, was that it essentially created a way to have private property and ownership of assets in the digital space. And the digital space was, in my mind, I'm like, this is, the digital space is going to be just as big, if not bigger, than the physical space. So then, you know, we wanted to get involved in crypto, and the kiosks were the way that we could do it. You know, we weren't going to make a second-rate version of Coinbase. I'm a big believer in that founders need to be authentic and play sort of on their battlefield. I'm a firm believer that every person in the world has some sort of unique skill, and the world has so many needs. And a great business starts when a founder's unique skill set matches up with a need that the world has.
Now, Ben, you know, as far as regulation, I mean, this is something that you guys have to really keep abreast of, correct?
Correct. It's, you know, from day one, we always treated CoinFlip like a regulated financial institution.
Yeah.
And crypto, people think it's not regulated. Maybe while Bitcoin itself might not be regulated, like the crypto space, crypto exchanges, they're regulated to some, at least to some, in certain areas to some extent, whether it's with KYC, whether it's at the state level with money transmission licenses. There are regulations regarding the buying and selling of crypto, for sure. And it just, there's more and more regulations, and it's going to get more and more complicated and sophisticated. So from day one, you always have to have, you know, a compliance first culture.
Totally. So now with you kind of working, you know, with these governing bodies, you know, advising on regulation, obviously there's things that change on a state by state basis, but like, how do you guys keep up with the pace of all these changing regulations?
I think it starts by having the right team. We have a government affairs division. We have a legal and compliance group, which is one of the biggest groups at our office. Our chief legal officer, Colleen Kavanaugh, she was the head of financial investigations at Morgan Stanley. And prior to that, she was the chief of the public integrity unit in New York for the U.S. Attorney's Office. So she's an expert in that field. It comes down to hiring the right people and then having the right tools as well, because obviously as you're growing and scaling the business, you need tools. And some of the tools we use are CipherTrace and Chainalysis and some of those blockchain analytics tools, which the cool thing about crypto is you can actually block illicit transactions before they occur. You know, and we do that at the kiosk. If someone is sending money to someplace they shouldn't be, we OFAC check people. So we're, you know, you have to use the tools to really do compliance at scale. Mm-hmm.
Now, you guys started CoinFlip back in the day to really create, you know, a cash to crypto ATM service, right? And so you guys have been very busy. Obviously, you've expanded to something like 3,500 ATMs across the country.
Yeah, we're actually over 4,000 now. We're at 250 employees. So
amazing.
We're still growing. And we
That's awesome. And so, you know, as you have all these ATMs out there, you're also maintaining a very strong record of regulatory compliance. Obviously, safety and security is super important, right?
100%.
How do you handle issues that arise when individuals might perhaps break certain laws? I don't know how it works, but like, I'm sure things come up.
Yeah, so you have to follow not just the laws that regulate money service businesses and financial service platforms, but you have to follow your own policies as well. And we get, you know, an independent audit of our policies every single year. We have a great team who's doing that. So, and you have to take a risk-based approach. Not every business is equal. You might have different customers with different risk profiles. So there's things that are cut and dry. For instance, you can't do business with people who are sanctioned, but then there's other stuff where you're going to have to take a risk-based approach. And that starts with just bringing in the right team, Having the right software, bringing in the right outside consultants if needed, and then adjusting based on the results you're seeing. You know, if you try a compliance policy and then the data shows that you might need to make a pivot, then you have to make that pivot. So compliance isn't something you just do once and you're done with it. It's an ongoing thing. It's an everyday thing.
From a, I'd say, global perspective, obviously you guys have been focused on the U.S., any opportunities with their different product lines internationally, or you guys just focus?
Well, we just expanded into Canada. And okay. So we'll be continuing to expand internationally as well. You know, we are a global business. We intend on being a global business, and we believe that everyone all over the world should have access to cryptocurrency, and no one should have barriers that don't allow them to purchase crypto. And some of the, the U.S. is great for crypto, and it's, you know, there's a lot of great crypto stuff going on, but crypto is actually needed in some other countries way more, in countries that might have, you know, bad like regimes that aren't allowing people to withdraw their money. If you had to flee a country in the past, you would bring everything you could and just physically carry it when you fled. But now you can do it with just, you know, a seed phrase in your head. So, and a lot of these countries with inflation as well, you might see stable coins and crypto being used as payments. So I think that there's a use case for crypto all over the world. And for sure, there's use cases beyond just the US. In fact, there might be more use cases based on, you know, having a bad government or not having strong monetary policy or having rapid inflation. Crypto is definitely needed globally.
Cool. Now, from a, you know, we kind of talked about this a little bit in the beginning, but from a, you're obviously involved in a, on a daily basis, you know, with everything crypto. But as more and more people have kind of come in and come out of trading, you know, any predictions on the future of crypto? You know, I know that a lot of people that I've talked to most recently, especially people that I told, yeah, invest in these coins, and they invested and now we've had a major crash. So they're like, Jeff, why'd you tell me to invest there? Any predictions from you on like when we could see a bounce back or any type of future opportunities for crypto in the kind of global grand scheme of things?
That's a great question. So obviously I'm not a financial advisor, nor am I a fortune teller, but my personal opinion is that this is an interesting time because this is the first time that crypto and the economy have sort of moved in tandem. So stocks are down, you know, everything's down, interest rates are up, and also crypto's down. So that tells me that the downward price pressure on crypto is likely caused by macroeconomic factors and not factors necessarily related to crypto itself. We saw Bitcoin bottom out at around 17,000. And now I believe it's back to 23 or 24,000. So you could argue that we're probably, you know, we saw the bottom and we're rebounding a little bit. That being said, if the economy continues to sort of be in what I believe is a recession the next 18 months or 24 months, I don't think you're going to see it go back up to 60,000. But as Warren Buffett said, when people are fearful, you should be greedy. When people are greedy, you should be fearful. So, you know you're a real investor when you're happy that the prices went down.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think the way I look at it right now is like, if you haven't invested in crypto and you want to, and again, I'm not an advisor either, but you know, with the prices where they are right now, it's kind of a good opportunity to buy low because it will eventually go back. I think a lot of people are kind of just, you know, they're holding with their investments and, you know, seeing what's going to happen. But you definitely have a lot of people who got nervous and, you know, sold and took a loss.
Yeah, that's where I see people really get burned, is they might not have the conviction from day one when they're purchasing it. So it's fine when it goes up, but the minute it goes down, they don't have that conviction. So they sell it at a loss, or they overextended themselves. They invested more than they were willing to lose. And then all of a sudden the rent's due, and Bitcoin's down 20% and they have to sell it at a loss to pay rent. So I would say, you know, my personal philosophy, if I can't hold something for 5 to 10 years, I'm not buying it. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can have a long-term horizon towards things, that makes it easier to be a good investor. You never want to be forced to sell at a certain moment in time. If you want to sell an asset, it should be a very calculated and strategic decision, not because you're having FOMO or because you have to pay the rent. So I would say for all investors, whether it's stocks, bonds, crypto, don't invest more than you're willing to lose because you never want to be forced to sell at a loss. And don't buy something you're not going to have conviction in, because things go up, things go down. And when they go down, if you don't believe in it, you're going to get soft hands and you're going to sell. And that's how you get burned.
Totally. Now, you guys, you said you're up to what, 250 employees now?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you guys are hiring, are you looking for people who have had experience in crypto? Like, what is the caliber of...
So crypto experience is always nice, and it depends on the position. But I actually think too many people overestimate the amount of crypto experience they need to work at a crypto firm. And they actually self-select themselves out of the crypto job market for no reason, which is really a shame. Because at the end of the day, business is still business. It doesn't matter if you're selling hamburgers or crypto. You need accountants.
Right.
You need marketing. You need legal. You need operations. You need finance. So you don't need, you know, every company needs a P&L. Every company needs lawyers. Like, you don't need to know as much about crypto as you think. And you can always learn on the job. So I actually see too many people self-select themselves out of working at a crypto company because they think, oh, I don't have the crypto experience. How am I ever going to work here? Well, you realize every company still needs these ancillary functions. So I actually think that people overestimate the amount of crypto knowledge they need to work at a crypto firm.
Very cool. Anything as far as, you know, you've been in the space now for, like you said, you know, 7 years going on
7,000 years in crypto.
Seven years going on 70, right? What's your mindset from, you know, when you guys started to where you are today? How has that changed?
Still big believers in crypto. I actually like these crypto winners and crypto recessions a little more because there's less hype. So you really can keep your head down, stay focused, and really build. I find that most of the technological advances in crypto happen at the same, you know, during when prices are down, because people's head down, people are working, and that sort of fuels the next cycle after that. So these sort of markets are where you really earn your stripes. And then from a company perspective, it's all about scaling, scaling, scaling. People overestimate how universal business is. It's actually very situational. So like the things that make you a great founder when you have 15 employees or 20 employees actually can make you a terrible executive when you have 200 employees. So learning how to delegate, learning how to trust your people, that's not something that always comes natural to founders. So I think that just understanding that these companies have life cycles and what works when you have 20 employees can actually go against you when you have 200. So you always have to be adaptable and flexible. That's the name of the game.
Awesome. Well, Ben, listen, I appreciate you taking time out of your very, very hectic day and coming on Alchemy, and you know, keep up the great work, and great to see you guys growing. And again, you know, congrats on the Midwest Entrepreneur of the Year Award. It's pretty awesome.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for your time, Jeff. And we love Alchemy and appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. Thanks, Ben.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.